Hey, welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm your host, Rachel Zimmerman, and I am a St. Louisan. And I've lived in the St. Louis area my entire life. I've been in the city itself for the past 9 years or so. And in that time, I've lived in four different neighborhoods and worked downtown that entire time. To say that I love this city is really an understatement. I don't want to live anywhere else. And I think about this sometimes, even if I won the lottery, and I'm talking like the big lottery, I would still want to keep my roots in St. Louis. In fact, getting on Zillow and picking out my ultimate St. Louis lottery house is one of my favorite daydreaming activities. And I get mad when people talk badly about the city because there's so much to celebrate about St. Louis. There's so much beauty. There's so much diversity. There's so much potential. Yeah, we have our share of problems, but to me, it's just silly to pretend like problems are the only thing we have. We have a lot going for us. So you might know that March 14th, or 314, is 314 Day here in the Lou. I love this day, and I think it's important to celebrate our city pride. In advance of 314 Day, I invited Tatum Polk, one of the founders of 314 Day, and Jamie Ballantyne, a board member of the 314 Day Foundation, onto the show. We're going to check in with Tatum and Jamie and find out what inspired this day, how we should celebrate, and where it's going in the future. They're both awesome, and the passion behind 314 Day is apparent. I'm joined now by Tatum Polk. He is one of the founders of 314 Day, and Jamie Ballantyne. She's a board member of the 314 Day Foundation. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here and excited. Time to ramp up, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, thanks, Rachel. We're excited to be here today.
So let's get started by talking about what 314 Day is. I just kind of describe it as a celebration of all things St. Louis, but I'm assuming you probably have an even better explanation. So how would you describe it to people who have never celebrated before?
Wow. If you've never celebrated in the last 19 years, how would I describe it? I would describe it as an opportunity for us to display civic pride in the St. Louis region, an opportunity to come together and celebrate the things we love about St. Louis, the past, and an opportunity to speak into the vision of what we want St. Louis to look like.
Very nice. And so what made you, like 19 years ago, what made you go, we need a day like this?
The nostalgia of being an 80s baby. There was a ton to love, and you know, we're sports fanatics and music fanatics, and at that time it was just a great opportunity to rekindle those thoughts and kind of remember where we were. And that's kind of how it started and snowballed from there.
So, Jamie, when did you kind of sign on with 314 Day?
I always tell people I officially signed on when I started celebrating it, right? Because 314 Day is something that, while there's a foundation that mans it and runs it and makes it operable in St. Louis, 314 Day is celebrated by everybody, but officially came on about maybe 4 years ago.
Very nice. Did you guys have any idea at the conception of this that it was going to blow up and be like, now it's like everybody, even if they don't know, like, okay, Tatum Polk founded this, you know, everyone's celebrating 314 Day on March 14th.
Yeah. I'd be a little amiss to say that we saw it in its entirety and what it'll look like 20 years from now even. But we did believe that it was something that was going to unite the city and it was going to be bigger than us. And we just wanted to make sure that it stayed true to what it was. And, you know, that's about St. Louis, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of uniting the city, one of the things I love so much about this day is it's such a way for local businesses to shine. Mm-hmm. So how do you engage with local businesses from 314 Day? And I'm also wondering, like, what are some of your favorite local businesses to highlight and work with?
Ooh, that's tough to put me on the spot. I love all local businesses, right? That is one of our main goals, is to shop local, to educate local, and to develop local, right? And so as a social media aspect, we go out and we highlight small businesses from time to time, where we get to know the owners and we get to know the patrons and the customers, and that's all over the city all year long, though. That's not just a day for us. And so it's a big focus for our foundation.
And speaking of the foundation, like, what made you want to start this and go like, okay, we're done just making it a day. Now we're going to turn it into this organization that can do more.
Yeah, that's a jammy quote.
I think one of the things that and I'm going to put this on Tatum, but to say that 314 Day also, while it was a celebration day, Tatum and Dip have done so much for other people over the years that it only made right to make it official and do this the right way and say, hey, this is a foundation. We're not just giving back to St. Louis and celebrating St. Louis. We're giving back to St. Louis with a scholarship at Harris Stowe State University, our only historically Black college in this region. But it makes a bigger impact. We're able to partner with businesses better. We're able to partner with schools better. And so for us, we start with the babies to the seniors. You know, those, the babies that are born on 314 Day start out with their first STL shirt with their born on 314 Day onesie, right? To seniors doing activities in living assisted facilities. And so we are for everybody in St. Louis. And when you have a foundation and a nonprofit, you can really make a bigger impact.
And you guys have also teamed up in the past couple of years with STL Made. How has joining forces with them kind of enhanced the experience for you?
It's been a great partnership. I think one of the things that our friends at STL Made and Greater St. Louis have done is really highlight and give us a direct connection to some of the larger small businesses, right? We have always shopped local. We're always going to be at our Schnucks, our, you know, our favorite coffee shop. But those partners with Greater St. Louis and STL Made, they have a direct contact. And so we are partnering with their organization as far as marketing and getting the word out, but also having a bigger impact with the business community.
So, unfortunately, St. Louis has a lot of detractors, and a lot of them are local. A lot of them are people who like live in this area. They're like, I'm definitely not going to downtown St. Louis, and I'm not going into the city for any reason. I hate that, personally. My question for both of you is, do you think a day that celebrates St. Louis is more important than ever for people who are positive about the city?
Yeah, it's going to remain important for us. It is a great opportunity for people to have hard conversations, but on a level playing field. You know, we come in, we celebrate, we realize that we're more alike than we are different. And in the city, you know, I talk to Jamie all the time. I said, everybody's about 15 minutes from the arch. That's kind of our slogan. And so, but in 15 minutes from any direction, excuse me, the city feels different. And so how do you want to become the person that can help everyone? And that's almost impossible for us. I mean, go just to piggyback on our foundation talk, is so many people wanted to help us and didn't know how. You know, so many people wanted to be involved. And so the foundation gives people an opportunity to do that. And like I said, see the city in a beautiful light. It really is great. And we can see the development. You know what I mean? You see all the construction, that's development. Those are jobs. Those are opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's so much opportunity in this city. That's part of the reason why I wanted to start doing this show on KMOX is I, you know, we have our problems, but there's so much good to focus on, too. And that's one of the reasons I'm so happy to have both of you here today. Thank you again for joining me. I'm talking to Tatum Polk and Jamie Ballantyne. What do you wish for St. Louis? If you could magically, let's say there's a problem, we could magically fix it. Like, what do you hope for the city in the future?
So I think we hope that St. Louis is as great as we know that we can be, right? I look at a station like KMOX, and I remember KMOX, you know, ironically, my grandparents listening to it for the Cardinals game in Mississippi. KMOX was the one station where you could hear about St. Louis in every city, right? And so when I think about 314 Day in St. Louis, it is as great as our reach can be, right? And so 314 Day is not just a St. Louis thing, and our greatness doesn't just lie here. We depend on, you know, our neighbors from far, our residents that have moved away that still call St. Louis home. 314 Day is celebrated in Chicago. It's celebrated in Detroit. It's celebrated in Houston, Atlanta, right? So if they're celebrating it there in those cities that are so great that we strive to be like, just remember we can be that too. We don't need to move away to be dynamic. We don't need to always import somebody in to be dynamic. We have everything that we need right here in St. Louis. We've just got to come together and utilize it and make this city the best that we know it can be.
What do you think is our biggest strength as a city?
The people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people of St. Louis are amazing. We are not just diverse in, you know, economics or race, but we're diverse in our creativity, right? We are, I call this the next tech hub, right? And I'm sure, you know, Jack Dorsey and all those individuals who are legends in Silicon Valley, they have something in common. They started here, right? We're tech, we're small business, we're family, we are religion, we are culture, we are everything in 314.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you guys agree. I feel like St. Louisans have like a special kind of pride where it's almost like, you know, I feel like sometimes it's an underdog thing of like, I'll show you actually.
Yeah, and that's why we're able to survive in other markets too. You know what I mean? It's, you'd be surprised that you go into these other markets and look at their leaders, and most, and ironically, a lot of them are from this area and in so many different fields. And so that's an awesome sight for sure.
Yeah, Jamie, you brought up, you know, Jack Dorsey and Sam Altman's from St. Louis. I just wonder, like, what sparks that? And then these people go on to do such amazing things.
There's the water. I tested it. I'm convinced. I'm convinced. No, seriously. I'm convinced that it's the water of St. Louis, right? We have the best water and some of the best people. And I just don't think it's a coincidence. Do you think it is?
I think it's a melting pot. Like, I think the middle of the map is where it all happens. Like, everything kind of has to have a central local place, and it's, I think it's
in the water. It's in the water system.
Okay. Yeah, the water system.
Okay. Maybe not, but we'll go with it.
The mute button.
So we're going to air this ahead of 314 Day to give kind of people time to ramp up. But you start this like a week in advance, right?
Yeah, it started as a day and it had to expand. There are so many people that wanted to do things and so many parts of the city that we wanted to highlight. 24 hours just wasn't enough. You know, we wanted to highlight businesses again. We talk about that and music and sports and food, and you just can't get it done in 24 hours. And so we have expanded to we'll start on the 8th this year, and then we'll go on the 9th. We'll have our prayer march around the arch. This city is also very deeply rooted in belief. And I think that is, although we have some tough conversations to have about St. Louis, I think it'll start and probably end with belief and hope, you know, if that makes sense.
Can you expand on that for me? Rooted in belief?
This is a non-denominational prayer march around the arch, but we do believe that the city is SLU and some of these other, I went to Cardinal Ritter High School. And so I understand that there is a higher being, however you feel about that. And this city needs to get in a common ground of hope, belief, and prayer.
I love that.
Stick around, because when we come back, I have part two of my interview with Tatum and Jamie with 314 Day. Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show. 314 Day is on March 14th. And to get ready for the big day, I've invited Tatum Polk and Jamie Ballantyne onto the program to talk about why the day is important to St. Louisans. Here's part two of our interview.
So what's your long-term goals with 314 Day? In 19 years, you've obviously been able to accomplish this much. What do you look at in the future and go like, okay, this is kind of the target for what's ahead?
I think the youth have to drive that part. We really focus on reverse mentorship, and one of our interns is in studio with us now, so it's pretty cool. But we look at reverse mentorship. What does St. Louis want to look like for them in 20 years? And that will fuel us forever. You know what I mean? If we continue to look at the youth to be a driving factor, I think that will be the easiest way to project your future.
Yeah, I was going to say to have our intern here who was not born for the first 314 Day.
Wow.
And she, I mean, that hits us. Wow. But beyond that shock of where we are in life, I think it does, you know, kind of just, it's a constant reminder that what does she want in 20 years? Where does Kiera from Vashon High School want to be in 20 years? How does she see 314 Day? And so we're having conversations with her and her peers to figure that out. Because in 20 years, we hope to, you know, while we will be here still celebrating, I don't know if we'll have the same level of energy as we did 19 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, it is very important for this thing to last as long as we, to really build a legacy in it, right? It is important for us to continue to have conversations year after year, but it's also important for us to focus on the other 364 days. And that's one of Jamie's deals is that, hey, we are a 314 day, but what makes up the St. Louis region and market is the other 364 days. This is just a celebratory time. It's New Year's Eve, but the year is what you reflect on, and the future is what you're looking forward to.
So you kind of carry that spirit throughout the rest of the year. Let's talk about some of the, well, first of all, let me back up for a second. Tatum, you had said earlier we're a sports town. Have you been able to work with like Blues, Cardinals on anything?
Yeah, we're working with everybody. They love us, we love them, right? And so this year, the St. Louis and Nike teamed up to do the Lou jersey, which was really cool. And then we saw St. Louis Billikens kind of follow suit and have their Lou jersey. So that was a part of the City Connect deal there. We also work with the city soccer team, the Blues, of course, anybody. We just landed a cool promotion with the Battle Hawks, so we're excited for them to come back. And they just had their first day of practice recently. So we're excited. We love sports. And again, that gives us common ground to talk. You know what I mean? I'm just a big believer in once you realize you have things in common, it's easier to have conversation.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we live in a time where a lot of people feel like, oh, I see a difference there. I'm not even going to broach the topic. I'm not even going to try. So I really appreciate, you know, kind of that like-minded, like, no, we can focus on what we have in common and move forward from there. Yeah. And then you can kind of down the line approach those differences again and maybe try to make some changes.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about how to celebrate 314 Day. How do you suggest people celebrate and what kind of events do you have going on this year?
I say you celebrate it the best way that it fits for you. I think there's something for everyone, right? We have schools and early childhood centers celebrating with their kids. We also have, you know, CSTL Tours is doing something. 9PBS is doing a celebration. We have a workout session at Harris Stowe that Saturday. There's a coffee kickoff on Monday. There's a vegan kickback with Seven Lee and famed St. Lunatic Murphy Lee. There is something for everyone, from concert to coffee to kickbacks to culture events like our prayer march around the arch, right? There is no reason that you can't find something to do. And if it just means you're going to sit at home and watch your favorite St. Louis show and, you know, go on Facebook and make a post about it, there's something for you to do on 314 Day.
And speaking of, you know, making a post on Facebook and stuff, where do people follow you on social media to stay involved?
So we're at 314 Day on everything. We're at 314day.org is our website. And on there, you can find a full list of our, not just our events, but there's activities, there's deals. And so we want people to remember to shop local as well. Like this is our time. This is our time to shine. This is our time to support. And this is our time to see St. Louis through the future.
And Jamie, how do people get involved with the 314 Day Foundation if they'd like to help out?
So we'd love to have you. We have a sign up sheet on 314day.org. We may have a few volunteer spots left for our Dining with Dignity that we also feed our unhoused neighbors on 314 Day. There's an opportunity for you to also work all year. We're looking for a few more dynamic people to join us for our 20-year committee, which, yes, we're already planning for 2026. So we're excited. We want your involvement. We want your input. This day is, yes, 314 Day was founded by Tatum Polk and Terrell Evans, but 314 Day is for St. Louis.
Anything else about 314 Day you want to throw out there before we have to say goodbye?
Not for me. I think that I'm excited. I have no idea what my schedule looks like on that day. My boss over here takes care of my scheduling, but
It's busy.
We will try to be as many cool places as possible. maybe only for a few minutes, but we want to see how people celebrate. I want people to hashtag us crazy at 314 day. I want to see it, you know, even if it's a day after or whatever. We want to see how people in St. Louis celebrate and the things that you love and the things that you love in the high school that you went to, or the, you know, your favorite restaurant may be something completely different for me. And but it may spark an opportunity for me to try some of those things too, right?
That's at 314 day across all social media, 314day.org if you'd like to learn more. Tatum Polk and Jamie Ballantyne, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Is a great conversation.
Thanks, Rachel.
And good luck with 314 day. I can't wait.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Hey guys, welcome back. Thanks for listening to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Want to give another big thanks to Tatum and Jamie for stopping by the studio to talk about 314 day. As I said in the interview, I feel like that's just kind of the perfect fit for this show. I mean, I really try to highlight what's good about St. Louis and cool stuff we have going on. And 314 Day is just a celebration of all things St. Louis and St. Louis pride. And I was so happy to have them on. And I'm happy to add them to a pretty long list of just cool people and cool organizations from St. Louis who have been on the show. I do want to talk about some St. Louis news stories during this segment. Okay, I want to start by talking about the whole state takeover of our local police department. And, you know, I haven't spoken about this much because for the longest time, I was just kind of sitting back and waiting to see, like, what's the plan here? What would the benefit be if the state did take over our police department here in the city of St. Louis? And I actually even had the opportunity when Governor Mike Kehoe was on the Dave Glover show a couple weeks ago. I asked him, what specifically would the state be able to accomplish that our local police department wouldn't be able to accomplish? And look, I have nothing against Governor Mike Kehoe, but he didn't really give me an answer. You know, he didn't give me a specific as far as, hey, this is specifically what we would do that you people are incapable of doing yourselves. And ultimately, if I sound like I have a chip on my shoulder about this topic, it's because I do. I think that no one is going to be able to fix the problems in the city of St. Louis other than the city of St. Louis. I don't understand why someone appointed by the governor and a panel of candidates also appointed by the governor, because they just amended the bill to say he would get to pick all four candidates. I don't understand why those people would know more about the city of St. Louis than our police chief, our police department, our mayor. I don't understand it. And I thought Republicans were the party of small government, so it's especially confusing to me. I don't understand. I want someone to explain it to me. I want someone who wants this to explain to me specifically what's going to happen that's going to make this a better deal for us. Because I'll tell you one person who doesn't think it's going to be a better deal, and that's the mayor of Kansas City, where they have this set up. They don't have local control over their police department. And the mayor of Kansas City just wrote an op-ed for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I think last week, saying, you guys try not to do this because it's not working out for KC. So I don't know why we think it's going to do better in St. Louis. I don't know why giving control over to the state and to a larger government is going to solve all of our problems. But this week, the bill that I'm looking on an article here on KSDK's website, Missouri Senate amends bill that would put St. Louis police under state control and adds a funding requirement. So under the former version of the bill, the governor would have sole discretion over one candidate and then pick the remaining three candidates from a pool of candidates. Pardon me, I said four earlier. It's three. And the mayor could nominate one candidate into that pool. Then there'd be four other nominees, and police union groups would pick those other four nominees. The Senate amended the bill to remove the pool process and giving the governor the power to select all four nominees. So we're just completely handing over control to the governor. I don't understand. Again, nothing against Governor Mike Kehoe. We did better with him than we could have done with some other Republicans who would have been our governor, right? So I don't have a problem with him. I have a problem with this. I don't understand this. The Senate added another amendment that would require St. Louis to ramp up its general revenue spending on police to make sure it spends a quarter of every dollar on policing. That's what the KSDK article says. So for every dollar the city makes, 25 cents of that goes to this, goes to the police, which we don't have control over. Make it make sense. If you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet at me at RachelZSDL. Talk to the show on Instagram, Rachel Zimmerman Show on Instagram. I would love someone to tell me why this is going to work out, because personally, I don't see it. All right, St. Louis stories. Earlier this week, Kara Spencer won the primary for the mayor of St. Louis, and current mayor Tashara Jones made the runoff, so we have another Kara versus Tashara election coming up. Man, it feels like Groundhog's Day. It really doesn't feel like that long ago that this matchup was happening. It actually, whenever I first came over to KMOX 4 years ago, was the first Kara versus Tashara mayoral race. So just the fact that it's happening again, I will say Kara won quite handily in this primary election on Tuesday. She did a really good job. She won by quite the margin. And Tashara Jones says, look, it's not over. I have all this time. I have, you know, 30 something days to try to get this done. I get what she's saying. If we're going with my gut, though, I think the people who support Kara Spencer and the people who resonate with that message of filling the potholes and just make sure the trains are running on time, I think that group is a little more fired up right now. And I think they turned out on Tuesday. They're going to turn out again on the general election. And I think Kara Spencer is probably going to be our next mayor. Just my prediction. I mean, congratulations to Kara on her primary win. She was the first guest I ever had on this show, so that's kind of cool. Kind of a fun Rachel Zimmerman show fact. Let's see here. I love this story. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote about this. Rosalind Early from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote about the fact that St. Louis is looking for its next poet laureate. And I just think that is so charming and romantic. And I didn't even know we had this position available. But apparently it was created in 2014. And it's been vacant since 2019, it looks like. We put kind of a kibosh on this during the pandemic, but they're bringing it back up and they're looking for a new poet laureate. I'm looking at the job posting here on the stlouismo.gov website, and it says the St. Louis Poet Laureate will promote the art of poetry and encourage literacy and learning throughout the St. Louis region. Excuse me. Looks like it's a 2-year post. I mean, seems kind of cool. I think this would be awesome if you're a poet, if you're a writer, and you want to just kind of wax poetic about the city of St. Louis and lift up the community. Again, the word I use is romantic. It's just so kind of unexpected and cool. I'm glad that we're doing this. One more St. Louis story for you here, and then we'll take a break. St. Louis's beloved polar bear, Callie, has gone to another zoo. He was 12 years old. He was sent to live at the Toledo Zoo this week. And he entered into this breeding program. Hopefully he's going to breed with this female polar bear, Crystal, at the Toledo Zoo and bring us more baby polar bears. But we didn't just lose Callie. We gained twin 2-year-olds, Calic and Calu. I'm sure they are quite cute. They are not ready to be seen by the public quite yet, but they'll get there, and I can't wait to go visit and see these new 2-year-old polar bears. That'll be very, very cool. All right, guys, if you have issue with anything I said in this segment, I would love to hear from you. You can tweet at me at RachelZSTL. You can talk to the show on Instagram, Rachel Zimmerman Show. If you agree, if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. All right, guys, you're listening to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Thank you so much for tuning in this weekend. And if you've missed any parts of the conversation, whether it's my chat with Tatum and Jamie, or whether it was my St. Louis stories that I did in the last segment, you can always podcast the show anywhere you get your podcast. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show, or you can use the Odyssey app, which is great because you can pause, you can rewind, you can send in voice messages to the radio station, which we love to listen to. You can also access a library of shows that don't even air on KMOX. We just have a bunch of stuff you can listen to. So it's cool. It's free. It's easy to set up. Go check it out today. It's called the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Let's end the show with some fun stories here. The latest in fashion is apparently plumber's crack. This is so upsetting. This is apparently the hot new trend at Milan Fashion Week, though. Low-cut jeans with a hint of plumber's crack showing. And it's not just, I mean, it's not as bad when it's just for women, but it's for men and women. Sorry, not trying to be sexist here, but I guess if I had to see a plumber's crack, I would prefer it to be on a woman, I suppose. But I don't want to see it at all, really. And lots of people are hoping this doesn't become the hot new look, because it's gross. It's not like a pretty area. It's not like, you know, sometimes you see cleavage and you're like, oh, that, you know, I get that. That looks nice. Like, even as a straight woman, I can look at that and be like, all right, I get what we're going for here. But your butt crack, just don't. And I'm going to date myself here and, you know, come out as a millennial and just say, I've already lived through the low-rise jeans trend in my formative years, and it was pretty traumatic. I'm digging the high-waisted jeans. I feel like we should hold on to that with both hands and never let go. High-waisted jeans are so much more flattering on so many more body types than the low-rise jeans. So yeah, even though this did debut on the runway at Milan Fashion Week, almost immediately people went online and said they're praying this doesn't become the hot new trend. I am among those people. I have not voiced it on the internet, but I'm voicing it right now on my radio show. Please, no, let's not do this. I will not be participating, even if every other person on the planet is participating. Okay, so there's a new work term. It's called task masking. And it's a way of pretending you're busy at work when you're not actually busy. So let's look into this here. Employees spend a lot of time and effort just trying to look like they're working hard, when in reality, they're hardly doing anything. And this is apparently very popular with young Gen Z workers. This is according to the article. I don't know this by experience. I know plenty of very hardworking, wonderful Gen Z workers that work here at KMOX, and I appreciate them very much. But apparently Gen Z has coined the term task masking just to look busy at work. But, you know, let's be honest, this has always been something that people do. We're just giving it a name. But if I could impart a little bit of advice to these Gen Zers, it is easier to just do your work and do a good job than it is to pretend you're working. And it's much more satisfying to just do your job. I know it probably sounds crazy, but you're going to feel better at the end of the day if you just work hard and then you have something to show for yourself instead of like sneaking TikTok at work for several hours at a time. That's not going to be good, and you will be found out eventually. So just keep that in mind. Okay, we talked about this on the Dave Glover Show earlier this week when I wanted to bring it back up. Someone paid $88,000 for a Cheeto. But not just any Cheeto. This is a Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon. And what Pokemon, do you ask? Well, it has to be an orange one, right? It looks like Charizard. And so because of the fact that it looks like Charizard, it got the nickname Cheetozard, which is kind of cute, actually. And I thought to myself, how much can it actually look like Charizard, right? Well, I Googled it, and it really looks like Charizard a lot. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So they put it up on for auction, these people who discovered the Cheetozard, and the starting bid was $250, which is insane. But the auction just kept going and going, and people kept bidding and bidding, and some crazy person bid $88,000. Well, let me take that back. The winning bid was $72,000, but when you tack on fees, it came out to be about $88,000. So not only are you paying thousands of dollars for a Pokemon-shaped Cheeto, you're paying another $15,000 in fees. That is absolutely insane. Whoever bought it apparently thinks it'll be worth even more money than that someday. I don't know. I don't know much about like buying things at auction and holding on to them and trying to sell them again, but it is a Cheeto. It seems like it would maybe like deteriorate over time, or maybe some of the Cheeto dust would rub off if you like touched it too much. So I don't know. I don't have this kind of money. I don't know anyone who does. I think that $88,000 could go to something much, much better. But you know what? Good for you. If you're rich enough to blow it all on a Cheeto that looks like a Pokemon, then you're living better than I am, clearly. We also talked about this on the DGS. A toddler called 911 for emergency donuts. So the toddler's parents had gave them an old cell phone to play with. But, you know, a lot of times these old phones, even when they're deactivated, you can still use it to call 911. So the child's playing with the phone. He ends up calling 911 and saying, I really want emergency donuts, emergency donuts. And the 911 operator tried to get his mom on the phone, but couldn't make it happen. The 911 operators apparently thought this was very cute, and they posted the audio on Facebook. And the next day, they posted a second clip of two cops showing up at his house with Dunkin'. So he got his emergency donuts. I don't know, you guys. I just feel like this is a bad idea to reward the child with donuts after calling 911. Maybe give him a stern talking to. And don't give them a sweet treat on top of everything. Come on. What are we doing here, folks? All right. That's it for the Rachel Zimmerman Show this week, everybody. I appreciate y'all so much. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.